Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 19 through verse 22 this morning, Hebrews chapter 9. I'll read the odd verses, numbers 19 and 21, if you'll join with me on verses 20 and 22 this morning. If you found Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, beginning verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and the scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the book of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I do pray that you would fill this place with the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that you come down, have listening ears and open hearts, or to give us the word of God and through the messenger, the preacher this morning. I pray we'd listen, we'd heed to what you have for us. Pray you bless the special and prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Message, and I'm using verse number 22 as the basis for the message today. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. So let me speak on the subject this morning, the price of freedom. The price of freedom. I think hopefully you've been thinking a little bit about that very subject this Memorial Day weekend. And so let me say a word today on the price of freedom. Let's pray together. God and Heavenly Father, we're glad to be in church this morning. We're privileged to be here. We realize, Lord, not only are we here because of Your grace, Your mercy, and Lord, all that You do for us, but we're here because we have freedom to meet in this country and in a religious establishment like this one and conduct services, public services, without fear of government intervention. And we enjoy that freedom because people have died, shed their blood. Lord, it is very sobering to think about. So I pray that You'll help us today to put all these thoughts together, and may Your Word speak to us, meet needs here in this room. And I'll thank You for Your help today as I preach in Jesus' name. And amen. One of the most stirring sights is on display right now all over our country. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, many cemeteries across the nation will have multiple United States flags, star-spangled banners on display in honor of the holiday, the Memorial Day holiday tomorrow. Military veterans are buried in cemetery plots all over this country. Of course, there are cemeteries that are only for the military, those that served in over here in Elwood. There's a beautiful cemetery for veterans, and I've conducted several graveside services there. And I remember one time being out at Arlington National Cemetery on senior trip, and when they were having a funeral, and they brought the horse-drawn Cassian by, and the casket was flag-draped, and the horses, and I mean the ceremony and the ritual of that was a blessing to me. And when I go past the cemetery and see all those flags on display, it stirs my heart. It moves my heart. And it helps me remember that the freedoms that I enjoy today, the freedoms my family enjoys today, are given to us at great cost. Great cost. What we enjoy today, folks, wasn't free. It's very costly. Very, very costly. I did a little research again on a U.S. military website. And let me run these numbers. I've done this before, but let me run these numbers by you again. In World War I, let me just take the four major wars, okay? In World War I, there were 116,516 American casualties. In World War II, 405,399. Now, you think about that, folks. That's greater than the population of many cities across this nation. 405,399. In Korea, there were 36,574 American casualties. In Vietnam, 58,209 American casualties. For a total, in those four wars, 616,698 men and women lost their life in some way. That does not count those who were wounded in action. But they were not mortal wounds, but the countless thousands of those as well. And I just want to remind you this morning that the red in that flag right there reminds us the price of freedom is blood. The price of freedom is blood. Blood has been the price of freedom since the beginning of time as we know it. The first war recorded in history is found in Genesis chapter 14, where you've got a group of five armies that gathered together, and they went into Sodom and Gomorrah, and they pillaged, and they ransacked, and they took goods, and they took people captive. And one of those captives was Lot. And his uncle Abraham got news that his nephew Lot and others had been taken into captivity by these pillaging armies. And I love it for all the gun control freaks and weirdos in our country today. Abraham took 318 servants and he armed them. That's a lot of Glocks. Or Smith and Wesson or whatever it was. Probably a little ahead of my time there, okay? But whatever he put in their hand, that's a lot of 318 armed servants. And the Bible says they pursued those armies and they overtook them. And the Bible says they smote them. Can I put that in plainer English for us? Blood was shed. blood was shed. But you know what? People who were taken captive were freed. People who were taken captive were freed. And because evil men steal, and evil men plunder, and evil men enslave, war is necessary. It's not comely. It's not exciting. War is horrible. Because war means bloodshed. But the price of freedom has always been blood. Freedom was something, if freedom is something that you could see, and if you could see its, you could see the results of freedom. I'm not sure that you can touch freedom like I can touch that microphone stand there. If you could touch freedom, if you could see freedom, its color would be red. And let that flag remind you this morning, friend, that countless thousands of people have died so that you and I could enjoy the freedoms we enjoy today in this country. Now, that is not only true about physical freedom, it's true about spiritual freedom as well. And if spiritual freedom could be seen, it's like you can see the results of spiritual freedom, but if spiritual freedom could be seen, its color would be red, meaning its price is blood. And the spiritual freedom that you and I enjoy this morning was not cheap. It was extremely costly. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God gave Paul words in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 that teach us about these truths. In the book of Hebrews, we have a contrast between Old Testament and New Testament and Old Covenant and New Covenant. And over again, we're told that the New Testament and the New Covenant is better than the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. That's the key word in the book of Hebrews, the word better, 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 over and over again. Now, one thing was and is consistent for both Old and New Testament. It took the shedding of blood to obtain spiritual freedom. It took the shedding of blood to obtain spiritual freedom. Verse number 22 says, "And without shedding of blood is no remission." The word remission means forgiveness. The word remission means pardon. There is no forgiveness. There is no pardon without the shedding of blood. I want you to notice in verse number 22 the word purged. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. That's talking about the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament temple. And so many of the items, the spoons and the shovels and the basins and the bowls in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple had to be sprinkled with blood. And that's what it says there. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. That word purged, it means purified. It means cleansed. Look, folks, there can only be purification. There can only be cleansing. There can only be forgiveness. There can only be pardon when there's been the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. Blood was required to both purify and pardon, to both cleanse and forgive. I want to say two things this morning, very simple, but I want you to listen because they're a play on words and I don't want you to miss it. Number one, I want you to know this. God Himself made the first sacrifice of blood for sin. God Himself made the first sacrifice of blood for sin. You go all the way back in time to the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. And verse 21. And this is what the Bible says. Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now this was necessary because Adam and Eve had disobeyed God's command. They had eaten of the tree that was forbidden. And after they ate of that forbidden fruit, they knew in their conscience they'd sinned against God. That sweet fellowship with God was broken. That sweet communion with God was broken. They had no longer a wonderful relationship with God. And they sensed it and they knew it. You say, how do you know they knew it? Because the Bible tells us that they sewed together aprons of fig leaves. They took fig leaves off the trees and sewed them together and made aprons to cover themselves. They were attempting to pardon and purify themselves by the works of their own hands. And people, listen very carefully. The works of their own hands could not cleanse, could not purify, could not forgive, and could not pardon them from their sin. So here they are. They're in the Garden of Eden. captive, spiritually oppressed, prisoners of their own disobedience, trying to purify and pardon and cleanse and forgive themselves by the works of their hands. And the Bible tells us that God came in the cool of the day and began to call Adam's name. And Adam was hiding. "Where art thou, Adam?" And when finally God revealed where they were hiding, God said, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam and Eve began to talk about what had happened. And I won't go into all that story. But the Bible tells us that after everything had been revealed, God, now listen, clothed them with coats of skins. That's animal skins. That means in that garden, God sacrificed an animal or two or more and used their skins to clothe the sinful couple. And people, when God sacrificed those animals, do you know what happened? Their blood was shed. Their blood was shed. And God replaced those aprons of fig leaves. He replaced the works of Adam and Eve's own hands with the clothes of skins from the animals that He killed and shed their blood. Blood was shed. And once blood was shed, there was pardon. Once blood was shed, there was purifying. Once blood was shed, there was cleansing. Once blood was shed, there was forgiveness. There was release from spiritual bondage. But it was blood that brought the remission. Without shedding of blood is no remission. That kind of sacrificial offering of sin would continue for approximately 4,000 years. Now think about that. Four millenniums. Four millenniums of time. Animals were sacrificed over and over again. From Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Moses and then to Aaron and then through all the priesthood. And they all followed God's example of a blood sacrifice. And because blood was shed, there was purging and there was pardon and there was cleansing and there was forgiveness. Over and over and over. 4,000 years of time. You and I can't comprehend that. 4,000 years. Oh, there were stipulations to the kind of animal that had to be sacrificed. Stipulations as to how to handle the blood, what to do with the blood, where the blood would be shed, where the blood would be placed. And there were always people who would attempt to alter God's plan, always change God's plan, always deviate from God's program. And every time that happened, friend, God was displeased and He would correct His people. He had established the plan. He dictated the place. He created the program, and it could not be changed. Without shedding of blood was no remission. No remission. I say again that God Himself made the first sacrifice of blood for sin. God did, number two. Listen carefully. God made Himself the final blood sacrifice for sin. Did you catch the switching of the words? God Himself made the first blood sacrifice for sin. God made Himself the final blood sacrifice for sin. And this is what Hebrews tells us. The book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and of goats, the blood of animals, was not good enough to be a final sacrifice for sin. That's why they had to do it over and over and over and over and over and over for 4,000 years running. Those animals had to be sacrificed. If though the blood of animals was not sufficient, the blood of animals was not enough to totally atone for man's sin. A once and for all sacrifice of blood for sin had to be made with blood better than that of bulls and of goats, better than that of animals. And God made Himself that sacrifice by sending Jesus Christ into this world, bearing in His body the very blood of God, pure blood, clean blood, spotless blood. And there, outside Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha, a cross was erected. And on that cross was the body of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And there, as the songwriter wrote, blood flowed from His head, His hands, and His feet. Yes, His entire torso. God's blood was shed for man's sin. A final sacrifice. That's why on the cross, Jesus spoke out with these words, "It is finished." It's done. He did not mean that His life was over. We'd never see Him or hear from Him again, because they took Him off the cross, put Him in the tomb. And as we sang about in that first song, one day the grave no longer could conceal Him. He walked out triumphant over death, sin, and the grave. God's blood was shed. It was the final sacrifice. You see, there was an order of superiority here that had to be dealt with. An order of superiority. Trent and Trevor, could I use you guys just for... I can just use you, Trevor, okay, if you will. And I'm going to let Trevor just stand down here on the bottom floor. And we're going to let Trevor... We're talking about different life forms now, okay? I'll be a human. I'm a man, but we're talking about mankind now in general. We're talking about men, women, boys, girls. We're talking about every human being that's lived since the beginning of time, living now. I'm a human. Now watch this, folks. We're going to let Trevor be an animal. His dad said that would be a pretty good characterization of him, okay? And Trevor's going to be an animal. Now watch this. God gave men dominion over animals. That's why we can hunt and eat deer and turkey. Well, I don't believe you ought to eat. I just think you ought not hunt. What do you think that happened to that cow at the grocery store, friend? Okay, all right. So anyway, we got dominion over, because man is a higher life form than an animal. So for 4,000 years, the blood of a lower life form was shed for a higher life form. And God said, all that can do is work for 1 year. That's all it can do. So an animal has to die every year to cover man's sin. This is a lower life form dying for a higher life form. Say right there. But one day, the Lamb of God. Poor choice, but I don't have any other body to use. Okay? One day, the Lamb of God came to this world. And a higher life form died and shed His blood for a lower life form. And when a higher life form shed His blood for the lower life form, it was done. Over. And you can go sit down. Amen. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Luke. You see that, folks? That's what happened. God came down. 4,000 years is long enough. You say, why did God wait 4,000 years? You know, that's a whole other message, and that's God's program and God's plan. 4,000 years of lower life forms, animals being sacrificed for higher life forms, man's sin. And all it could do was cover it for 360 days, and then it had to be offered again, year after year. 4,000 years, and yet in one sacrifice, Jesus Christ paid man's sin debt in full from eternity past through eternity future. One sacrifice. God dying for man. That's what happens when God dies for man. What happens when God's blood is shed for man's sin. And now sinners who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. A higher life form sacrificed Himself for the lower, and the blood flowed, and that blood could purge, and that blood could pardon, and that blood could cleanse and forgive once and for all. I'm simply saying, friend, that blood is necessary for spiritual freedom. It's necessary for cleansing and pardoning and forgiveness and purifying. And many in this room have come to the shed blood of Jesus Christ for purifying and pardon and cleansing and forgiveness. Many have come to Christ, but some have not. And listen, if you have never trusted in the shed blood of Jesus to save you, set you free from spiritual bondage, you ought to come to Christ, and you ought to come this morning to Christ. Why would you put that off? Why would you delay in a decision to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Don't you see your need this morning, friend? Don't you see your sin? Come on. Do we really have to debate as to whether or not you're a sinner? I'm a sinner. We know it. Come on. Why do you try to conceal the chocolate smear on your cheek when you took the cookies without Mom knowing? Why is always that inner unrest when you looked your dad in the eyes and lied to him? You know you're a sinner. And that's the reason you need to come to Christ. You'll always be in bondage to that sin. You'll always be oppressed, living in spiritual captivity to that sin, unless you come and embrace Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that He gave Himself for you. Come and trust the Lord and be saved and be cleansed and be forgiven and be purified and be pardoned. But it won't happen without applying the blood of Christ to your heart. Let me say a word in closing this morning to those who have been saved. Listen very carefully, that the blood never loses its power. The blood never loses its power. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Listen carefully. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know that's talking to saved people? 1 John is not written to lost people. 1 John is written to saved people. Whoa, 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 whoa. I thought you just said when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and cleansed and pardoned and purified. Why would a saved person have to deal with his sin? Because when we get saved, we fix our position with God. We are forgiven as a sinner in the sight of God. But friend, we still live in a body that has a sin nature. And there's nobody in this room, saved person in this room, that goes even 24 hours without disobeying God in some way. It's in us. You say, I don't know. Well, listen to verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You really want to argue that point with God? You say, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Because you know, Christian, come on. You know, after you get saved, you know, you could probably think of an instance this past week where you did something and the Spirit of God inside of you You know, Pete and Leah were at the house for a few days. He went out for his sister's wedding. And he and I were talking, and I said something to him around the table on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. I said something to him, and after I said it, the Spirit of God got inside of me. Just. And Brother Denton, I resisted that. I tried to justify it. You know what I'm saying? And it bothered me and bothered me and bothered me and bothered me. And I was on the way into school with Cherith, I believe it was, or I was in the car by myself. I forget now, but you know, I said, enough of this. And I picked up the phone and I called Pete and I said, look, what I said a little while ago, the Spirit of God has convicted me about this wrong. I'm sorry. I just want to make this thing right with you. Don't tell me that hasn't happened to you this past week. Maybe it wasn't something you said. Maybe it was a lie you told. Maybe it's something you looked at and lingered. Maybe it was a temper that got out of control. What do we do with that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, do you know what? You know, listen very carefully. As Baptists, we preach hard against works salvation. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Just like you can't work your way into being saved, you can't work your way into fellowship. I wonder sometimes. I wonder if Christians have established a little form, a little ritual of service and good works, and they're counting on that good works and that service to keep them in fellowship with God. Listen again. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you realize if my shoes are dirty and I take this handkerchief out of my pocket and clean my dirty shoes, what happens to that handkerchief? Dirty. Are you using the choir as the basis of your fellowship with God? Are you teaching a Sunday school class and that's the basis of being in good fellowship with God? Let me throw one at you that's better than that. What about confessing your sin? Did you pause? Was there any point this week, since we met last Sunday, that you paused and said, God, forgive me? I was a smart aleck to my mother. I was disrespectful to my husband. I was short with my wife. I should never have said that to my son-in-law. When's the last time you had a confession? Because, friend, the shedding of blood is required for our salvation, but it is that same shed blood that provides us fellowship after we get saved. What communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Can God's people walk with dirty hearts in the darkness and maintain fellowship through a bus route? Maintain fellowship through an instrument? I'm all for serving God, but folks, they don't make enough pianos and music and classes and lessons that keep us in fellowship with God. That is maintained through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have a time where you kind of think about the day, the previous day? Ask the Lord to examine your heart. Take a minute just to clean up. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I can't tell you how many times with my father-in-law I've heard him say those words, Marilyn. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I don't even know what he's praying about. Keeping short accounts with God. Keeping short tabs with God. I don't know about you. I use a credit card for points to fly on an airplane. I don't carry a balance. Pay that thing off every month. Pay it off. Pay it off. I don't want to let that thing build and build and build and build and pay interest. I want to tell you something. I don't want my account with God to get deep and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I really wonder sometimes if Christians go a month at a time, maybe more, without even thinking about confessing sin. Well, I'm in good fellowship with God, man. I'm faithful to church. Well, that helps. They don't make enough churches to keep you in fellowship with God. Jesus shed His blood for that. Amen. I'm talking about the price of freedom. You're all across this country in this area. You can drive past these cemeteries and see these flags, and the red in that flag tells us that the price of freedom is blood. I have freedom in my heart today. I have freedom in my soul today. And the price of that freedom is blood. Not some animal's blood. God's own blood. If you've been saved and applied it to your heart, apply it again and again, not to be saved, but to stay clean, to stay forgiven. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have that spiritual freedom. Oh, be saved today. There's nothing like it. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me encourage you to keep your ears open while your eyes are closed just for a minute. Would you listen carefully today, friend? How many here would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about the matter of confession. And as I look at my life, I don't really have any specific time where I ponder and sit and ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart. And I do want to stay clean with my God. And God spoke to me about that today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand if that's you this morning, please, all over the room? God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you. You may take your hands down. That's wonderful. Let me ask this question. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, heaven would be my home because I've been saved, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. If that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up this morning in honesty? If that's your test, don't be dishonest. Don't be dishonest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one here that would say, Brother Angel, I didn't raise my hand. I was honest. And I did not raise my hand because I don't know that I've ever been saved. If you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Just slip it up while I'm looking around. Anybody this morning, slip a hand up. I don't know that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking but me and the three guys standing up here. From front to back, side to side, anybody in the auditorium, not sure that I'm saved. I need to know more about being saved. All right? Is there anybody here today, you've been saved but not baptized? You haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be obedient to Christ in the matter of baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here today? I need to be saved. God bless you. That's wonderful. You want to step out this morning and come and obey the Lord in believer's baptism? This would be the time to come right now while we wait. We have people to help you this morning. Make that step if you want to and get that done. If you're here, you've been saved and baptized, you're going to join the church, you've talked to one of us about it, this would be a great time to do that. If not, you can make an appointment. But if the Lord spoke to your heart today about confession of sin and keeping the heart clean and the short accounts with God, or if the Lord spoke to your heart about salvation or baptism, when the music begins in just a moment, I hope that you'll use the altar, the opportunity to talk back to God after He has spoken to you. My Father in heaven, I want my heart to be clean before You. And God, You know the time that I talked to You yesterday, talking to You, God, about a clean heart. Oh, Lord, please. I pray that You'd help us see that fellowship's not maintained by good works and service. Fellowship is maintained through the shed blood of Jesus that forgives us and washes us afresh and anew. Help us, oh God, keep our hearts right with You. May the Holy Spirit put His finger on things that need to be dealt with, and may we tend to it. Then, Lord, save anybody who's lost. Help that one or two that need to be baptized to be obedient to You and step out today. Work in our hearts, and this invitation is my prayer in Jesus' name. Did the Lord speak to you this morning? Wasn't that kind of Him? Let's stand together. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Why don't you come this morning and let the Lord deal with your heart, talk to Him for a little bit? Why don't you come today, would you? Obey the Lord in baptism. This is a great day to do it. Would you come while we take just a moment? You know, you're saved by His blood, but you're also held in fellowship by His blood and the confessing of sin. Step out this morning. Be obedient to Christ in the matter of baptism. Speak back to the Lord. Come to be saved. Whatever the need is, that's what you ought to come for today while we wait.